Clink-a-dinky-doody.
Nah, it's too crappy. Start again.
From the WGN Tower.
Now, remember, you're all a big part of the show. We're on in 10 seconds, so get ready to have a good time. All right, here we go. This is exciting, isn't it?
He's down on the phone.
In 5, 4, 3, 2.
Now let us imagine that you're in the middle of your program.
You must identify your station.
You might say
WGN.
.FM. Right here.
Good afternoon, Spring Valley and Speakerdorf.
Did you just say the F word?
Breaking news. A television reporter in San Francisco was robbed at gunpoint in the TV van when he was covering a story.
This city needs its news.
Burglars took his wallet and TV equipment. The reporter was his own breaking news, and he could actually report on himself if his camera hadn't been stolen.
Ron, are you paying attention?
Nope.
A developing story. A clown in a dunk tank at the Memphis Delta Fair was fired for hurling racial comments at a black family walking by.
Your behavior is completely inappropriate.
Tanya Jones said the clown taunted her with, "Hey, nappy head."
Oh.
And when she looked at him, he said, "Yeah, I'm talking to you, Shanaynay.
Oh.
You look unbeweavable." I'm sorry, I've never heard of a complimentary dunk tank.
We can't win for losing out here.
How do you get people to dunk you if you don't insult them?
You just a messy fool.
Catch 22, back in the day, Riverview, their dunk tanks? Oh, my God, politically incorrect. They invented racism, I think.
Kapoor-ya!
I'm Gary Meyer. Those stories and more on 240 Minutes on the Gear Force, the Super G, the Streamliner, WGN.FM, Chicago. Hold me. I'm trending.
You slut.
All right, Ferdinand, you're anxious to get on right away, and you are, sir. What up?
Hey, buddy, your pipes sound very, very mellow today. I just wanted to give you a nice little compliment on them.
Oh, man, thank you. I'm coming out of whatever I had, but looks like Leslie now is in the middle of it, and some other people that work on this floor have got
stop
it.
Kissing everybody, then.
Yeah, I got to do that, or stop doing
hey,
that.
I have a serious question. Now, this is your bread and butter. Have you like insured your voice box for any amount of money?
I have not.
With Lloyd's of London?
Yeah, I don't remember ever thinking about doing that, but maybe I should.
Right? I mean, if you get karate chopped in the throat, how are you going to pay the bill?
That's right. Game over.
All right, well.
Well, I will investigate that. Thank you.
Yeah, remember.
See, Hochberg can like.
Yeah.
Hochberg will find someone for you.
Hochberg has access to all these people.
All right, then.
Thank you, Ferdinand.
Well, remember.
Have a good show, buddy.
Thank you.
The Wayne Messmer. The singer.
He got shot in the neck.
The throat.
Right by his instrument.
And
his
totally.
Moneymaker.
It has affected his voice. His voice
is not what
still
it was.
Okay, but he doesn't hit that
he doesn't have
high
the timbre
anymore. I mean, he's you can see him struggling, too, a little more when he does it.
Boy, that was a lucky situation in that he could have gotten killed. He was sitting in his car, I believe, in Little Italy.
Yeah, wasn't he near those? He was. Didn't he get dumped from a game at the
something like
United
that.
Center or the
somebody
old stadium?
Came yeah. up and shot him.
Yeah.
And then he was taken. He should have been taken to Little Company of Mary to keep it in a very little theme, but I'm sure he went to somewhere closer, maybe Rush or one of our other fine
but here's a
hospitals.
Guy who sings for a living, doesn't get shot in the arm, doesn't get shot in the leg.
Well, that's
gets shot in the
Murphy's Law. If anything bad can happen, it will. And there are about 14 other issues on that Murphy's Law that can happen. Just when you think it can't happen, it can happen. And I think you said something a few minutes ago about you are selling a snow globe.
No, I'm trying to win one.
You're trying to win a snow globe.
Yeah.
On eBay.
Yeah, I hope. I have to check my...
You hope. What snow globe is it?
This is the Las Vegas Red Piano concert show snow globe. There's like a little red piano in a snow globe.
And how much is the bidding?
Well, it was cheap. That's why I went for it, right? I think it was like, you know, 20, 30 bucks.
Why didn't you buy one when you were there? I'm sure they were selling thousands in the gift shop.
They were like 40 or 50 bucks. And now it's like 5 or 6 years old. And so I think people that bought them are going, what am I going to do with this snow globe?
Well, you're going to sell it to this idiot sitting next to me.
Well, I'm not, but I've put a, I put a, you know, a ceiling on it. I'm not going to spend more than $20.
Okay. Well, it looks like your life is full when you're not looking at Jennifer Lawrence's woo-woo.
Wow.
You are looking at snow globes and other things at 3 in the morning because apparently you never sleep.
Well, the best was, so yesterday, you know, we're eating dinner and, you know, this topic comes up of the hacking on the news, or we saw it somewhere. And so I made a comment about it. And my wife's like, well, have you seen those pictures? And I was like, well, yeah, I mean, I saw a few of them. I mean, you know,
nothing special.
I had to look at a few of, just because,
you for know, discussion.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's research, you know. And but I didn't get into any detail. Plus, it's, I mean, the Jennifer Lawrence ones are tasteful. It's the Kate Upton ones that are a little, you know, even for me.
She doesn't need that in her portfolio to throw your ass out. She's got, I'm sure she's cataloging.
Well, and, my wife.
Yeah. Well, who else would it be? Jennifer Lawrence?
Well, I don't know. I didn't know. What
Kate Upton? No.
Well, I didn't want to. I mean, I didn't want to make it sound like I was being a horn dog or anything.
Crap. Hey, is part two, people not paying attention in the other room, part two of yesterday's podcast not up? I'm getting some text to that effect. I hate to start off with complaints.
I got an email to that effect.
But I have to adjust right now because if it's not up there, I want to know why. Can somebody explain? They're having a discussion now. Boom, 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 boom.
Did you do it?
Boom, 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 boom. Okay. Well, let's get Yakety Sax going, and then we'll get this explanation.
But it is uploaded everywhere. It should be.
Wait a minute. Say the first part again, because Yakety Sax kind of drowned you out.
Aaron tells me it's not showing up on iTunes, but everything is uploaded where it should be. So
why wouldn't it be on iTunes? If it's everywhere else.
Huh. But it's uploaded everywhere it's supposed to be, you know, supposedly to get to iTunes.
Okay.
Did that shed any more light on it?
It's like Apple addressing the
cloud.
Hacking of the cloud. It's not really our fault.
Plus, that guy shouldn't be doing that.
It's amazing how many of these people are putting the nudie pictures up, though, in their cell phone. Then they go up in a cloud, and now everybody's got them. Why would you even start that chain of command? I like when people get into show business and then complain about the loss of their privacy. I'm not saying that this is acceptable, but let's put this issue aside. When they complain about the paparazzi and all this other stuff, hey, you, I would imagine as you're getting into show business, you wished at some point that would happen, and it happened, and now what's the problem? That's all part of it. If you got into show business in the last, 75 years, because before the internet and before television, there were these magazines that devoted themselves to show business.
Photo play.
I remember my mother used to get these magazines when I was a little kid, and they always had Elizabeth Taylor and Richard, Burton on.
Liz
on the cover.
Liz and Dick.
Right, because they were always doing something weird, either divorcing each other and remarrying, or divorcing and then remarrying other people and then getting back together, or he was a drunk.
Well, they got married twice, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, it was always that kind of back and forth and his escapades and this and that. But, again, that's what they did. They covered these celebrities day in and day out. And now there are these other platforms that are full tilt to cover celebrities. That's the game it is. If you don't want to get into that game, I'd stop taking acting lessons at Steppenwolf.
Well, not even that, but, you know, that's one thing when you say, geez, I can't go out to lunch or I can't go out to dinner because these guys are camped out in front of my home. But this cloud thing, you created
right,
the content.
That's something that
you created the content.
You put yourself in harm's way by putting it on a device that goes into the atmosphere. Whether you thought it was secure or not, once you put it on that phone, there's a good chance, almost 100% chance, that it's not secure no matter what you do. And as we're finding out, now Home Depot is saying they've got some hacking issues. It's on and on.
And Home Depot says, oh, we care about our customer experience. Just as you said many times, every company, 6 to 9, this is the 9th month of the year now, you had a 9-month wake-up call when Target got hacked at Christmas time.
You would have thought that everybody would have said, hey, there but for the grace of God go us. Let's get this ramped up. Maybe there is no barrier that these people can't hack. And I often refer to the Tylenol case 30 years ago when they had that Tylenol tampering and people died. Well, all these people that manufacture over-the-counter items went, oh, my God, if they could do that to Tylenol. That is why today when I open my bottle of Visine, there's that safety seal that I had to cut off.
That was not always there, folks.
No, and Tylenol was the one that was hacked, so to speak. So everybody responded, not right. just the company that made Tylenol. All those companies started to put safety seals on because they thought we were lucky it wasn't us. But we're going to prevent that from happening at all to our products.
But to your point, maybe people have gone in over the last several months and strengthened the security on their things, and that just provokes these hackers because that's what gets these guys off to say, okay, you want to make your wall stronger? I'm going to find now another hole. I mean, so you never know. Maybe they have done it. I mean, that's
it,
the other side.
There is no barrier that somebody can't get through. And so far, that's what we've seen. This text at 312-521-8600. Oh, so now you're for victimizing women. What does that mean?
What does that mean?
I don't know. Explain. For I don't know what you're talking about.
Victimizing?
What,
now,
because
I have heard people say now that if you look at the pictures, you are victimizing the people in the picture just as much as the hacker did because you are looking at the photos. So maybe that's what this person
well,
is.
The Internet is the Wild West. Let's take these pictures out of the equation. There's a lot of stuff out there, and I think the video of this guy being beheaded is as atrocious and vulgar as any of these nudie pictures, and people are going to look at that, and there are about a million other pictures or videos of that ilk that are out there that people look at every day. That's the Internet, and if you're going to proselytize about looking at things on the Internet, that bullet is way out of the gun and never going back in.
With freedom comes responsibility.
Yeah.
By the way, you're trending at 2 right now.
Woohoo!
Number two.
You.
This one. It's not on WGN, the podcast. Kreef, if you could follow up on all those and just tell people what's what, I'd appreciate it. But I just was surprised at the list. They say there are hundreds.
Oh, the guy said, whoever hacked said, I've got what I've put out there is...
That's just the tip.
Yeah, don't worry about it.
The tip, I said, of this iceberg. More to come.
Well,
I'm just surprised that these actresses would put themselves in harm's way.
But they don't view it as harm's way.
They thought they were secure in doing this?
I'm sure they thought they were... obviously. You wouldn't pull some of those pictures if you didn't think that those would never get out.
The volume, though, is surprising to me that all those people of...
That everybody is sending that many selfies of their nether regions.
But you got a group of narcissists here.
Maybe.
Why would you think that actors and actresses wouldn't take pictures of themselves?
I was looking at an ad in the New York Times that features Kate Hudson. I think it's a shoe ad. I think it's Marc Jacobs. And it's... 2 full pages, and she's naked, except she's wrapped in a blanket or towel or whatever, and it says on the bottom, for more photos of Kate, go to our website. And I'm thinking, I'm sure they're not nudie photos, but now when you see something like that, and somebody mentioned yesterday that some of these women will lose money because they would have sold nude pictures to Playboy.
Right.
Jennifer Lawrence, don't think so. Even Kate Hudson, selling your nude pictures to Playboy, that's their last resort for getting any income. That's when everything's been exhausted. You need to pay the bills. Oh, Playboy would pay me $500,000, $1 million. I'll go that route. But you're not seeing that from the list that I saw as far as who's involved in this. They're not going to do that with Playboy. So how will their careers be damaged? I don't know if there's damage that way. It's just walking down the street, knowing everybody.
I think there's
a lot of people seeing your hoo-ha.
It's embarrassing.
Yeah.
But it's not. But it's not career damaging. I think it's embarrassing personally to say, geez. Because I mean, you look at Kate Upton, for instance, and you see this model, and you know she's always frolicking on the beach.
Right.
And,
she's always in a bikini.
Yeah. But
barely.
I mean, yeah. Barely is right. But man, when you go to that next level.
But
go,
she's got
wow.
her boyfriend involved,
yeah.
who plays for the Detroit Tigers.
Yeah.
That guy with a full month left in the season, and they're in the playoff hunt too, right?
Oh, yeah. They're going to probably make, I mean, they're in second place now. They're probably going to get a wild card.
Imagine what he's going to hear when he walks out onto the field. Is he a good player?
Oh, he's one of the best pitchers in baseball.
Okay, just checking.
Yeah, I mean, he's one of the best players.
Hey, batter. Swing, you batter.
This guy should be, you should put him in the lineup. He's got a pretty good bat. Why isn't he up to bat more often?
I don't know if they should do a bobblehead, but they should bobble something to this guy, because, wow.
There you go. Take the lemons, make lemonade.
You have to.
Or you could have a Kate and Jason bobblehead grouping, because there's that one picture where they're together. Did you see that one?
She shot it in the mirror.
Yeah.
So they're standing in front of a mirror, and she took the picture off the mirror.
It tells me, though, that no matter how beautiful you are, selfies are not good.
I'm glad you brought that up, because there is a takeaway of this for people who think, oh, these people have such a great life, they're perfect and all that. But when they're not in full makeup, and you see every little
when
nook
they have
and cranny,
been photoshopped,
literally.
Yeah,
they're just like you and me. Well, maybe not entirely, but there are flaws that you normally don't see.
Because even the one photo, which you could actually say is tastefully risque, was the one where she has the tie on with the shirt.
Some of us didn't.
Yeah, we don't all have
watch
the.
And go look at any of them.
Who's doing this? I thought by now this was common knowledge.
Kate Upton. There's a picture of her that's clearly taken in a hotel room, and she's sitting on a bed, and she's got a man's shirt on with a fedora, and a tie, and her shirt is open though. I mean, she's naked, but that's not a pose that you wouldn't see.
Right, she does ads like that.
Right, but. The fact is, the lighting is terrible. There's just a lamp in the corner.
Yeah.
And she and it, and it,
she does not look like the Kate Hudson we are exposed to day in and day out.
Kate Upton, you mean.
I'm sorry. Yeah. Kate Upton. Yeah, Have I said Hudson a few times?
Okay.
Is she part of
she
it?
She may be
oh,
part of
it, Oh, somebody texted, Kate Hudson? Did I say
yeah,
Hudson?
Yeah, you said Hudson.
I did.
Okay.
Is she part of the group? Because there are so many, she might be.
Kirsten Dunst is in there.
Kirsten Dunst
pictures. And some actresses, like that one who was in the Die Hardest films.
Oh, yeah, you were mentioning her. Weingard or something?
When you look at the name, you go, I don't even know who she is. Why would you go after her?
Well, I didn't even know who there's a Victoria
I don't think there was a list. It was just they were sucking these pictures out and taking names later.
Yeah, but there's a, like, well, I think.
Right?
Is that how they, well.
I don't, how does this work?
I
don't know.
Oh, like
I'm
you
not,
don't know.
A hacker, and they just go in, and then it's like a pinata. It just starts coming out, right?
I don't know. Maybe
I think they are talking more in terms of they went after specific women and then did things like hacked into accounts knowing some of their bio info, and like what's your mother's maiden name, finding those sort of facts that they were able to hack into accounts and simple passwords and that sort of thing that left them
open to...
some
research to get into these specific
That's
people.
What I'm hearing
because
more
Because if
of.
You look at the names, like initially, I mean, obviously Jennifer Lawrence and Kate Upton are big names, but there's a lot of other people there, to be honest. I went through... And I didn't even know who they were. I didn't even bother to look.
Well, they must have some...
Because that's no fun. If you don't know who it is, then it could be just somebody walking down the street.
But they are known in some circles.
Yeah.
That you don't know them doesn't mean anything.
But
they
they're
could
on
be
the radar screen.
Super popular with a 14-year-old fan base.
And that's why you have to figure that the guy who's doing this is probably in his early 20s or late teens, because he's drawing from the people that are on his radar screen who are probably Disney stars who have now grown up. Or 19-year-olds. Every 20-year-old loves Kate Upton. Every 20-year-old loves Jennifer Lawrence. So if you look at those names, there's Liam Mike, the one from Glee, Michelle.
Well, and the other one was that Michaela, whatever her name,
the
Olympic
gymnast. Right.
Who did the pouty face.
Yeah. Remember when she lost and she got all mad?
I don't
and
remember.
It went viral with her little...
She's naked, too?
Yeah.
And they're saying that if, in fact, that is her, that this picture would have had to have... been taken when she was underage. So now we're dealing with a whole new layer of
because you don't see
potential.
Julia Roberts or Kate Hudson or other people who are older, because in this hacker's world.
Dude, that's your mom.
Yeah, why do I want I'm not looking for MILFs. I'm looking for,
All right, so he had a specific agenda of who he wanted up there.
Yeah. But it sounds as if there are way more that he could have published, and he may, if he doesn't get arrested or if he doesn't get whatever happens to him.
Do they ever find these people? It seems like they do their business, and then they recess back into the shadows.
Yeah. Well, or like Anonymous, where it isn't necessarily a person, where it's a group effort. So there is no one person that you're going to eventually pop for this.
Is this more threatening than ISIS? What should we be concentrating on? What has the bigger damage factor?
I think we should worry about ISIS a little
more. I think so. Well, are you? Here's a text. Are you broadcasting live, or is this a pre-recorded show? Please show me today's newspaper. Thank you. Here it is.
There it is.
September 3rd.
Live.
The headline, of course, about the Chicago Mix and how Garrett is getting sued. That's big news.
We got real problems. I brought the photo in today from the New York Times last week that showed, I mentioned this, I believe, yesterday, because we started yesterday, where they were taking the Ebola victim out, all wrapped up, and then the two workers taking the body were all wrapped in hazmat, and then these four people sitting on a wood pile just holding their nose, and I don't know if that's going to do any good, but they're sitting in front of what I assume is their home. They're called slums in the articles. It's a major slum that a lot of this is happening in, and you look at that and you think, on my worst day, I don't have anything to worry about. No. Because look at, that's their, if that is not happening on their best day, it's bad.
Like I've said many times, we've all won the lottery.
Oh, absolutely.
If you live in the United States, if you were born in the United States, we already won our lottery. If you win another lottery with some millions of dollars, that's gravy.
You're super lucky.
Yeah, that's gravy.
Now, but some people are sitting there going, oh, yeah? You come to my house, and I'm showing you where I have a lot of lottery winning to do yet.
Well, but you don't even realize.
When I look at those pictures, and then the other picture.
But at least you're not eating sticks today for lunch.
Right. I brought for show and tell was the aftermath of a bomb that hit a house in Palestine, in the West Bank there. And they show this guy sitting. The house is completely destroyed. He's sitting in rubble, but he's sitting in his kind of lazy boy chair that's still usable. Next to all this
rubble.
Yeah. He's got his feet up on a bunch of rocks. It's kind of an ottoman.
Well, the chair is still good. I'll just sit here and look at my damaged, destroyed home.
Hey. So in light of that, have you any input on the whole thing the governor's doing this week, living off minimum wage? And he had to, yesterday, not get a double cheeseburger. He only got a junior because he wanted to save money. And I'm thinking, people who are earning minimum wage don't go out for their burgers. They buy a pound, a loaf of bread, and they make four meals out of that at home. So I don't think the governor's quite got it under control.
How long is this experiment?
1 week.
Okay. And remember when Walter Jacobson, and he's lingering in this building, I saw him.
Oh, do you see him today?
He's the size of a key ring.
Yeah.
He's the size of a flash drive.
His son was just on Ray Donovan on Sunday.
Yeah, his son is
Peter Jacobson.
Well-working actor.
Yeah.
He was a regular on House for a while.
Well, he did a series, and by series, I mean he was homeless for, 2 days?
It's so cold.
He went out in the middle of winter, and he begged for food and stuff, but then he would get back in the TV van.
Right.
And warm up.
And, well, I think the challenge is you have to be homeless for a year. You have to go on minimum wage for a year to experience that whole thing.
Remember Jane Byrne went and lived in Cabrini Green for a week.
With security.
I think people, if they put their mind to it, could get by on for a week.
It's $70-some dollars.
Right, a bill's not going to be due in a week. You've got to go through a year of that.
Well, and that's it. That 1 week, you could make a big pot of chili and some cold cuts, and you're good. You're not going to starve. Everything's cool.
Well, you know, he's playing off this whole runner being a zillionaire. Right. I felt sorry for these people. So there's a commercial I saw last night where he's saying, and it's a four quid.
So you took your snout out of the cloud for a few minutes?
After you see it seven times, they all look the same. So
so a Rauner commercial came on?
So it was a Rauner commercial, and no, it's for Quinn. And they show Rauner, and they say, you know, he made $53 million, yet he wants to cut the minimum wage for working people. And they show about a picture of like seven or eight people. And they say that all these people are in low-paying, below minimum wage job. So how is that working for them? And I'm sitting there going, why would you allow yourself to be used on this commercial?
Does it say on the bottom these are actors?
Well, I don't know, but they show these pictures.
Because sometimes they do.
And these people are smiling.
Actors.
They're smiling, and he's like, these people are all, you know, below minimum wage people, you know, but they're not, they don't look like they all have like nice shirts on, and they're posing in these poses, and I'm like,
Okay,
well, they don't look like
they don't
they're,
look minimum wage.
They don't look minimum wage, and
you
if,
don't,
even
you know
if,
what that look is.
And even if they are, why would you allow yourself to be put up to be this example of the failing class?
Okay,
it was a, it's a weird. If I were those people, it was just an. I know
why
what,
they was, want to I guess, be part but, of the fact. Hey, we're on minimum wage, and it's not good. They don't think about, oh, how does this portray me?
Well, I'd
they're
like
on
to,
minimum wage.
I'd like to know how much cinnamon the governor has wasted.
He's on cinnamon wage.
Cinnamon
he was on, when Brandmeier was on the AM, he came in one day, and I was listening and thinking, as I always do when I hear these people plop onto somebody's show, you have nothing better to do? And not only that, the guy sat there and did the cinnamon wage.
Undle blurs.
Shut up. PR, PD, what is what did you call Pat Blue Ribbon?
PBL.
Yeah. He did the cinnamon challenge by eating a teaspoon full of cinnamon, which I guess is dangerous.
Yeah, because you aspirate it. You end up breathing it, and it can cause long-term problems,
and
health problems.
That's all you got to do in the morning is stop by the show, Graham, and eat cinnamon?
Not to mention, for some people, that's a year's worth of cinnamon that he just
wasted.
Yeah,
he's wasting cinnamon. That's what I'm saying. How much is he wasting?
But
there?
This obviously is... This is like a DJ stunt where you're coming up to an election. He's got to start stunting. When politicians start taking pages out of broadcasting books, radio broadcasting specifically, you're in dangerous territory.
It's like going and getting hunting licenses and those sort of things that we've seen in presidential races.
Right, so they're regular guys.
So I'm wondering who decided that in the commercial where he's mowing the lawn, it had to be a push mower. As opposed to a gas mower.
Right. Whose lawn was he mowing?
We don't know, but he's mowing lawns because he's cutting this and cutting that and cutting taxes. And
plus, to do this minimum wage thing only 2 months before the election, you know how
it
scared
looks
he is.
Stunty.
He
yeah.
is really scared. I mean, you're the incumbent.
Hey.
And you're
Look at this state. I would say any incumbent would be scared. Nothing's really going right, is it?
Well, don't forget, too. I mean, I know he did win an election, but he did get this job because of Blagojevich, too.
Yeah, because he went down the crapper.
Yeah, it's not like he won the election outright. He did win his own election, though, didn't he?
Right, he got reelected.
But he was already in the thing, and we were all going, what the heck?
Right, it did jumpstart what would have been the reelection.
Because he's been a bridesmaid his whole career, pretty much. He's never been, you know, he's always been just below the power.
And now he is the power.
Yeah.
Gary Meyer on the Streamliner. A number of texts have come in at 312-521-8600. Starting with, maybe Baba Shivel can help these ladies with their lighting on future nude selfies. You were complaining about some of the lighting on those cloud photos, and maybe that's your calling.
Well, they could have used some overhead, because obviously the light in the corner wasn't shedding enough. She was behind. It cast a shadow.
Good eye. You were commenting on Quinn's commercial with the people who claim that they are living on minimum wage, or trying to, and you wondered why they would allow themselves to be on these commercials. This one says, because those people are being paid probably more than minimum wage.
That's true.
Or maybe they're actors.
Yeah.
That's possible, too. And sometimes it says in small type on the bottom of the screen that these are paid actors.
Not actual minimum wage people.
They may be minimum wage, but they've never been parodied by Scott Stantis. So look at it that way if you need a stepping off point.
They're lucky.
Or you were completely lampooned.
Oh, literally.
Corey.
Or harpooned.
On at 312-521-8600.
Hey. Hi, Gary.
Hey.
Hey, folks. Hey, great show. You guys are awesome. On the FM, it's great because I travel all during the week. I'm a truck driver, so it's...
Thank you.
Good to speak, guys. I can follow you everywhere, and no problem hearing you. But I had a good idea. When you set a trap door on the floor about these goofball bank robbers.
Right.
These banks should have they already had a front door, but usually a lot of them have, like, there's cash machine also in there, so it's like a double door these people need to go through.
Right.
So as the guy's robbing the bank and he's ready to leave, the teller just hits a button, and the front door is already locked, so as soon as the guy tries to leave out the first door, it locks behind him, and then he's locked in there. You know, you make the front windows bulletproof in case he gets a gun.
Right. I was going to say, they have to have bulletproof glass there. Or wait a minute. This is a, I'm glad you mentioned that, Corey. This is a cost-saving way to do it. Just have the trap door in that vestibule. So when they get in that vestibule, then you drop them down to the basement. Right?
Yes. You know, I would just leave them right there, just, you know, so you'd be able to see them. You don't hurt himself. He'll end up suing the bank.
Yeah, that's true. But the other idea I had was the giant sticky trap where a plate opens up over the sticky trap when he gets to the door, and then he gets stuck on that sticky trap right outside the door. And then we can all get a little laugh as he's stuck there.
If you ever try to touch that glue from there, those glue traps with like the rat.
Oh, yeah.
That stuff is impossible. It is sticky.
He'll be stuck there until the cops arrive.
Perfect.
But there's got to be a way, because this is going to keep going. How long have bank robberies been around? 30, 40 years now?
And they're not even using, you know, any weapons or guns. He just puts his hand in his pocket. It's good enough.
And they're told, because it's the right thing to do, just give them the money because we don't want to have anybody get hurt. Put a dye pack in there or whatever. And I guess that's the way to go. The dye pack renders the money useless. But I like to see the guy caught. So, like this guy that Leslie talked about in the news, doesn't get to bank number 7 today.
Right. And some of these guys, they might have a weapon on them, and they might use it if they get scared or something. So that's probably the safest way. Just have that little middle section all bulletproof, and he's trapped in there. Because there's no way you can open both doors at the same time.
Right. Why do we know this, and people that operate banks don't know this?
I know. And they seem to be opening banks left and right like they're, you know, it takes $10 to open a bank.
Yeah,
I've lived out in Lincoln Hills before, and they have banks. They have so many banks that you don't even see cars there anymore. It's like, who's going to all these banks?
Right, because they're getting more automated with the ATMs and everything else, as we've talked about. What's that?
There's one on every corner, like regular full-size banks.
Yeah, but then they go more automated where they don't really need people in these large buildings.
Plus, there's banks in grocery stores now.
Exactly.
Which is even scary. Because do they have security guards there?
I don't know.
That's why a lot of those get hit, I think.
I don't know.
What are you going to do, call customer service?
Right. I think it's the same person watching the self-checkout lines.
We got a spill on aisle 4 and a bank robbery.
Yeah, you pick. Thanks, Corey.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys. Great show.
Drive safely.
Now, your idea of that trap door is a good idea.
Well, thank you.
No, wait. But here's the thing now. Okay, is it one long plank? Because now you have to remember, what if there's other people in other...
That's why it's not one long trap door.
Okay.
It's an individual trap door
in front of
each teller.
Okay, now...
I'm not going to drop innocent people in with this idiot.
No. So now, okay.
Why would you even think that?
Because I'm trying to get to the logical
but
step
you
by
have
step.
Not experienced any logic yet with
no, I'm telling
your
you. So
long
first of all,
trap door.
No, first of all, we know it can't be one long one because everyone would fall down.
Thank you.
Okay, so now it's individual. Now, if I gum to up a window and I'm handed the note, I can't push the button.
Why?
Because that guy is looking at me.
All right, they have silent alarms.
But usually they're like, don't hit an alarm.
All right, you can put it on the floor and use your foot.
Because I'm wondering, like, does the teller next to you then have the ability?
Whoa, that's why you're not an inventor.
I'm trying to figure it
out. All right,
is
the button way up on top?
Well?
It's on the floor. You just step on it. They don't see that.
All right. Well,
it's an individual trapdoor. I'm not going to drop innocent people into this.
Well, that's what I'm afraid of, because at first I'm thinking...
Why would anybody invent something like that?
Because I'm thinking, who's going to hit the button?
All right, I've thought of all this.
So it's a foot thing.
Thank you.
All right. Well, that's
Man,
good. All
God,
right.
We'd still be riding horses
well,
if you were
well, then
around
I, well, then I'll
100
tell you,
years ago.
I don't understand why they don't do that, because that, to me, does the job. It gets them out. First of all, it removes the threat
there
for the innocent people.
Thank you.
And it gets the guy.
Thank you.
So why do you think they
Thank
don't
you.
Do that, though?
Sharks. It's a trap door in front of a bank teller.
But so... I mean, we should call somebody at a bank.
Yeah, all right.
And see if they think that's crazy
all right.
or not.
I'll do that at 4 o'clock. Ron?
Hey, Gary, what about a GPS chip sewn into the bank bag that they're filling up the money into?
Well, driver goes away with that GPS chip, cops track him down, end of story.
In the movie No Country for Old Men, in that attaché case with all the cash, they had a tracking device. That's why Brolin was chased all over by Javier Bardem.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, so that's possible. You drop that in there, too.
There you go.
Hey, but they got to start doing something. They're not doing anything except the die pack.
Yeah, that doesn't really work.
Yeah. All right, thanks, Ron.
Because they just
they
just found a guy over the weekend who has been robbing five or six. They caught him somewhere in Cicero and Bridgeview or something, but he had a string. There's a lot of guys that are, like, robbing seven or eight banks.
I imagine they put a die pack in all of those bags. So if they keep robbing these banks, that money's useless because it's all shot with the die. I don't understand how they're getting any money that's workable.
But how does that money, so where is this money, how does that money differ from the money that they give me if I go for a deposit?
It doesn't. I'm just saying it's legitimate money, although they should have a drawer. Okay, I'll take all the money out of this drawer, and then it's a drawer full of Monopoly money or something. or they could have fake stacks of money. You could have a real or even a fake 100 or a 20 on top, and all the middle ones. I think that was in Ocean's 11.
Right. But is this die pack, does that come in a bag? Or is that different money than the money that they're shelling out?
I don't know how the die pack is.
Because my
set
money
in
isn't
there.
Exploding when I put it in my wallet.
Okay. Boy, this guy came in with some brain injury today. Is it a long trap door? Would all of the other people at the tellers drop into the cell?
I'm trying to help.
Is the button too high so the bank robber would have to see the button being deployed?
All I'm doing is I'm trying to refine your idea so that when you present it to somebody, you already have those. You'll be able to confront those questions. You'll say, just so you know. It's not a long one.
Okay. I think that was off the table immediately.
No.
There. You're like a dumb Thomas Edison.
No.
Yeah. That's all I can say. Alan?
No, I'm devil's advocate.
Yeah, sure you are.
I'm trying to help you refine this. Because I want a piece of this one.
The button's too high.
Well, because then who's going to hit the button? The woman's too...
It's on the floor.
The teller is too worried about...
It's like how you activate your brights. Which I'm sure you don't do very often.
That's pretty good.
Alan?
As garbled and confused as sounding as Bibble said, I kind of get what he's getting at.
Right.
If the guy says, put your hands up, show me your hands.
Right.
Then or step away from the counter, you're kind of stuck. So I got an ad in here. You have a grid over by the security guard that's got a control for every trap door. So then the guy's at number three, and he's got somebody with their hands up, and he's got a gun drawn.
It's not a freaking game show. No, it's a game show. Here, as soon as they hand the note to the teller, which they would have to do, most of them hand a note because they don't want to have anybody hear them, then you hit the button. They're down in there before the whole.
Well, then how come they're not hitting the silent alarm to get the cops there?
They probably are.
Because they're wanting to see the hands. They're saying, put your hands up.
That's my point.
You don't need your hands. It's a foot-activated thing.
And I'm sure they're not telling us all the details because they don't want us to know, because that would tip off the robbers, and then they'd find a workaround.
You got the die pack. You got the silent alarm.
But we're trying to fashion his system.
Well, I
so
think
he can go in and
fashion it.
You're going to have to write it all up.
The trap door in the vestibule, I think, is the easiest way to go, because then you don't have to put trap doors in front of every teller. It's there. He's leaving. And then, boom, there he goes.
Oh, so you'd rather have that one, then?
Yeah, I like the one trap door in the vestibule.
Hey,
what if he goes out the back?
Or through a window. Oh, yep. Now I'm part of the problem. Sorry.
Usually they always go out the front. Because then they get into, you get into the back, then you're not familiar. You're familiar with the front door. They don't like a lot of complications, as far as I know.
You got experience with this, Meyer. What have you been up to? Huh?
I'm always thinking. I'm just trying to help. I got pyramids going in to Gary, Indiana, as a tourist attraction. The other day on the Stevenson, we were talking about that, and they have this in Britain, where they have the scrim, the inflatable barrier. When there's a car accident off to the side, they can put it up. And people don't stop. People were looking at these two cars. There was no real damage, and there was two state cop cars. It was backed up for miles. People just want a looky-loo, So you bring this inflatable screen, and then there's nothing to see here.
You put up a nice little landscape.
Yeah, landscape.
Well, a little Kincaid like drawing.
There.
I like sponsoring the side of the screen, too.
That sponsorship, we could do that, too.
Yeah.
We'll go to Johnny's for a beef, get it dipped.
Hey, I gotta tell you guys something. Over the weekend, I drove to Columbus, Ohio, and back. I round-tripped 14 hours with nothing but podcasts.
Nice.
Just you guys for 14 hours.
Wow.
And when I got home, my wife finally, after 2 hours of me going, oh, did you hear about this? Oh, did you hear about this? She's like, shut up with the Gary Meyer stuff. Listen up.
That's great.
Wow.
Shut up. And then it's a domestic.
Oh, yeah.
That's awesome.
But it was a great weekend. I caught up on a few of the shows I'd missed. So I got to keep up on this podcast thing.
Well, I appreciate that. That's what they're for. You get the show repeated in its entirety at 7 o'clock from 7 to 11, and then it's podcast forever after that.
He's binge listening.
Yeah, exactly. Binge listening for the weekend.
And there's more content, too. More content for the 4 hours than before.
Yeah, and I've noticed now since you've gotten in, you're starting to run a few of the commercials that you're down around 310 maybe that you're actually getting content wise.
Well, I don't play commercials at the top of the hour because if David Hochberg is on before me, he plays commercials at the end of his show. So I thought 8 minutes later we're going to go back into commercials. Right now I have some flexibility, so I don't play any after Leslie does that 3 o'clock news. I just get started.
A total show though, a total 4 hour.
I haven't added up how many were, but it's. What, two breaks an hour?
Yeah.
And
when you do the podcast, though, there's about 20 minutes. It's about 20 minutes short of the 25 minutes short, something like that.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're getting a full, at least half hour spin going.
Oh, yeah.
That's good.
Oh, he's not complaining. He's saying there's...
Still loving the long format.
Thank you.
But at least you got a bathroom break here and there. So,
yeah. And I got to start taking them because I find I'll sit here for 2 hours before I realize I haven't gotten up. I'm going to get a blood clot.
Deep vein thrombosis.
I got to throw something in on the food talk, the eating and everything.
Mm-hmm.
I did an article a few months ago on this and did a little research on it. And only in the United States, if you hear these commercials where they talk about these people who are at risk for hunger or at risk for these, and they identify it always as 16 million people. We've redefined hunger in the United States. It's not what the UN calls hunger in these third world countries. And actually, a third of those 16 million people that they identify as being at risk are actually classed as obese. So in the United States, our hungry are actually obese. We have gotten to that point with it. But the at-risk designation means that maybe you're buying a generic brand versus a name brand, or you've decided to shop at a grocery store that's cheaper, that indicates that you're possibly at risk, that you're starting to cut corners here and there.
The other term they use is food insecure, and that may mean that you have food in the house, but you're worried that at some point it won't be enough.
But the reality is, you know how many people have died in the United States last year of starvation? Zero. They do not keep that statistic because it does not happen in the U.S. There is this food insecurity, and there are people that are maybe hitting a breadline or they're hitting a shelter. But we're not letting anybody, the classical, you know, the protruding bones and the bloated bellies and the dying of starvation, it doesn't happen here. I mean, we don't just have shows about food. We got whole networks about food. We feed everybody, and everybody is eating. So some of these things where you hear these ads going, 16 million people, you know, and it's the food insecurity and the at-risk. But the reality is nobody's dying of it. You're having to cut corners. Maybe you're not going out to eat three times a week. You're having to cut down to one time a week.
Hey, I feel better going to bed hungry. I just think it's not that whole, oh, God, I shouldn't have eaten that so late in the evening. Have a bowl of cereal. That's satisfying. A bowl of cereal does it, and you don't feel all bleh.
Yeah, but if you're buying your generic instead of the actual Cheerios, you may be food insecure.
That's how they label that.
I've been food insecure my entire yeah. life because we yeah. always yeah. buy off labels.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, Alan.
All right, well, I'll talk to you later.
All right, thanks.
So you have round oats?
Round oats? Odeos? yeah. yeah.
I wonder, is there really a major difference between
you know,
generic
it's funny.
And brand?
On some things, you'll notice a difference, but by and large, no.
Just like the peas are smaller. Like if you get a Del Monte,
yeah.
the pea is a little bigger.
Some of the paper and products, paper towels.
Oh, the paper towels.
You can really tell the difference. Huge. Toilet paper, paper towels, that kind of stuff.
There's a big difference.
But then,
there's a give and take, yeah.
Yeah. Overall, if I really have to use it, I can get by.
But a Frosted Flake is a Frosted Flake, right?
For the most part.
Yeah. I mean,
if you,
and canned vegetables
right,
are
if,
canned vegetables.
If you
unless you want
somebody.
Like a Lesure pea for something special, well, then yeah. that's what you buy. But if you're just chucking it into a chicken a la king, you're not going to know the difference.
Yeah. The blindfold test would probably have everybody not sure which is what.
Well, isn't the most of the generic stuff even made by the large manufacturers, but it doesn't meet their standards? So in the pea example, they have a little strainer, and they only want the peas that are a certain circumference, and then the ones that aren't fall through the thing, and then they go to the generic people.
Yeah, so they're still
yeah.
healthy and fine, and they're still peas.
You like big or small pea?
I like a big pea.
I like a big pea.
Oh,
I like
the
pea.
Little peas.
Really?
Oh.
You should
I mix it in with the mashed potatoes. It doesn't matter.
Let's do it.
(312) 521-8600 That's the text number and the phone number. Kevin, what's on your mind?
Hey, Gary. You remember that Albert Brooks movie where he was staying with his mom for a while?
Yes.
Mother.
Yeah. And so my mom came to stay with me for a few weeks, and she was buying all that generic stuff, and I hated it. But I was making some burgers on the grill. So I figured, well, I'm just making some cheeseburgers. And I put that cheese on the cheeseburgers. The grill was going 500 degrees. I'm not exaggerating. It didn't melt. It got, like, orange instead of yellow, and, like, some oil bubbled up on top of it. But I swear, not, it didn't melt.
Yeah, we're talking about generic products, and I guess overall, you get what you pay for, and that's what you buy when you don't have the money to get the brand name. And so if you want that kind of cheese and that kind of reaction.
Remember his mom bought the ice cream, and he said it. She said it was a protective ice above the, on the, he goes, Mother, this ice cream is, and he goes, she goes, that's just a protective covering of the ice.
It was freezer burn
or
something?
Freezer burn, yeah.
My mom would buy sandwich cookies, and I'd like the Oreos, and I'd go, you know, I can afford a bag of Oreos.
All right, but so...
I went through it all with my daughter and threw it all away. I said, see how much money we're saving? You know?
Yeah, we're throwing it all away. It's no good.
Hey, Gary.
Yeah.
$1,200 I spent on a radio for my vet on the weekend, just so I could listen to you in the vet.
In the vet over by there?
Over by there.
$1,200 for a radio. Wow.
Well, it does a lot of other stuff, but I wanted to listen to you.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Oh, you're the best. Love you guys.
What year is your vet?
It's been 11. 2011. It's all black.
Yeah, I had a 1965 all black.
Oh, yeah. You should have never sold that car.
Well, here's what happened.
What'd you get for it?
I bought it in the early 70s for $1,800. I sold it 5 years later for $4,500, and I used that as a down payment on my condo.
Oh, in Frankfort.
No, that was in Oak Forest. That was in Oak Forest, my first condo. But the other day we saw a Corvette. It was either in a TV commercial or something, and I said to my daughter, I used to have a car like that. And as typical as your kids do to you, you had a car like that? Yeah, she couldn't quite wrap her brain around the fact that I would have a car that looked that cool, I guess.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was something.
Oh, yeah, I used to be somebody, but you weren't around to see all that.
All right, buddy, have a good day.
Thanks, Kevin. Here's Ariel. Ariel.
Hey, Gar.
Hey.
How you doing?
Good.
This is Ariel reporting from the Tri-State. Long-time listener, first-time caller.
From the Tri-State. Which one?
Yeah. I'm right by O'Hare.
All right. You mean the actual expressway, not one of the Tri-States.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
All right, good.
Yeah, listen, I listen to you for about 2 hours in the morning, 2 hours at night. I drive 110 miles to and from work. In the morning, I hear your podcast, and let me tell you, sometimes your traffic report on the 294 isn't too all that accurate, but it's usually backed up as far as the eye can see. And I hear Leslie saying there's a 20-minute delay, which is not really the case.
Well, I hope you're not taking the traffic off the podcast, because that's probably hours days old.
No, like,
might be 2 weeks old.
No, I hear that. And I don't know, how do you work with that clown next to you? Bibble's such a, he seems like a handful.
Ah, I've had worse, as they say.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right.
I don't know if that's a compliment or not.
I don't know either, but just take it as face value.
I see that. I tried calling yesterday when you were giving away those phone club.
The fly grips. Grips.
Your producer said they flew in seconds.
Yeah, I've only got a few things here and there to give away, and when I say I got something to give away, then the people start calling. Otherwise, let's just listen. We don't need to call.
Yeah, no, good. Good show, man. I love you in this format way better.
Thank you.
We get more air, more time. I'm telling you, man, I love the show.
I appreciate that, Ariel.
All right, well, I'm glad I checked in. I'll let you go.
I will tell Leslie about her traffic reports. We're not even sure, because I get these texts, do you really even need to do traffic? I mean, we're listening on the Internet. We're kind of divorced from that whole radio format that you used to be on. Lori?
Yes, sir.
What up?
You?
Good.
Big fan.
Thank you.
I shop at Aldi all the time, I'll tell you, brand-wise. Produce is great there. I wouldn't buy meat, chicken, or poultry or anything there, but produce-wise and some of the frozen stuff, solid.
Yeah. Yeah, I go to Food for Less. They have all brand names. I think some people see Food for Less, that's got to be all generic, but it's the brand name stuff, and it's cheaper than other places usually.
Right, and Aldi's owned by the same company as Trader Joe's, so you're getting quality stuff.
The place you go to, Aldi's?
Yes.
They own... Trader Joe's owns that?
Yep.
Oh, okay.
Same company.
All right, yeah. Now, the reason I like to save money, I have an idea that people become millionaires and billionaires by not spending money. That's how they got millionaires and billionaires in the mix.
They're frugal.
They keep their money.
Exactly.
So why would I want to give it away? Who wants to give away their money? What's the point of that? I already did that with a nightclub. I'm still trying to make up for that 25 years later. All right, Laurie, thank you.
Thank you.
I'm sorry. I appreciate whatever you're going to say there. Eric?
Gary, two generic things I definitely won't buy are instant oatmeal, and the other thing is wasp killer. And I learned the hard way with the wasp killer because it came out like water, and I hit two really big wasps, and they both laughed at it, stung me in the front of my arm, and I looked like a heroin addict for about 2 weeks.
Well, that's what I was saying. I don't know if I bought the right brand, because it usually has that nice big shooting foam.
Right.
And mine didn't shoot or foam.
Yeah, this stuff came out like a kid's squirt gun, and I mean the name brand stuff will drop them in midair, and this stuff just all it did was make them mad, and they stung me twice. So that's I learned that in paper towels too. I learned the hard way with paper towels.
Stung you twice? Shame on you.
Right. Right.
Why did you buy the generic wasp spray?
Because it was a dollar cheaper.
Say a dollar. But when you're going in for this kind of stuff, you want to make sure you got the best.
But I went for a brand that I've heard of before. Now maybe it's not as good as the other brands, but
it was the generic brand of a major hardware store. I'll put it that way. And it's like, oh, compare this to Raid or Black Flag, whatever. And it's like, oh, okay, this is on sale. It's a dollar cheaper, and That didn't turn out well.
Remember when Jewel had that whole section of President's Choice items?
Yeah. Some of them weren't bad.
I couldn't figure out what president are they talking about.
Who chose this?
Is this Reagan? Did he like this coffee? Was it Carter who liked this soup?
Was it Van Buren?
Which president?
Polk.
And then it was the president of Jewel.
Right.
How do I know if I match up with him? Hey, really, President's Choice.
Was it the President of Jewel?
I assume, otherwise. Again, was it Kennedy?
Lincoln?
Who liked these paper towels? Why would he like paper towels like this? I had questions. All right. Eric, thank you.
All right, thanks.
I've got a little of that Albert Brooks with Debbie Reynolds if you want to hear
it. Yeah.
going for. They have ice cream in there.
Well, there's no difference. Why should I pay triple the amount when they probably go to the supermarket and buy the very same kind?
Mother, the ice cream is colorless.
Look under the protective ice.
The protective ice? You've actually named the clear, hard crap that sits on the top?
But if you don't want it, don't eat it.
You know, when I'm down and you give me these words of wisdom and you say to me, honey, you don't need to see a shrink. Just don't be hard on yourself. How can I possibly do that when I come from you? You're running a food museum here. Why can't you just go buy fresh ice cream?
And you haven't even tried it. You're making fun of the ice cream and you haven't even tasted it. It's wonderful sherbet.
I don't want it. I'm not going to taste it.
No?
I don't want
you
it.
You tell me.
And it's
Wow. God, this is horribly old. This tastes like an orange foot.
An orange foot. She said sherbet, didn't she?
Sherbet, yeah.
It's sherbet.
Sherbet.
I know it. After being mispronounced for many years, we all think it's sherbet, but yeah, it's sherbet.
B-E-T. I wonder if it's sherbet, really.
Oh, wow. You know now we're fancy.
Well, I'm just saying.
I want some sherbet.
There is an earlier clip, too, if you want, where she does buy bad cheese, like the caller was saying.
All right, rack it up. Yeah. I can find it.
That's a great. Have you ever seen that movie in a while?
I haven't seen it recently, but it's really Debbie Reynolds as
his mother.
His mother. Doesn't he get divorced?
Yeah.
Is that how this all happened?
He's been married like two or three times. He's just coming out of a second or third divorce, and he's like, you know, I need to just find out about me and, like, what am I doing wrong with women? So he wants to come back home and live with his mom and sort of just figure out who he is and where he came from. And as he starts to live with her, he starts to go, oh, I see
now
where
I know
I came
why
from.
Yeah, it's, these right. Marriages keep going wrong.
And, I mean, he nails it with some of the little, like, those little exchanges.
An orange foot.
Oh, and the and just everything, the way she drives. You know, it really, I mean, especially after my mom lived with us for a while, I was like, wow, did he hit that right out of the park.
You can often, when you watch your parents, see where you get these DNA moments. Matt, the trivia guy, unusually checking in on a Wednesday.
Millard Fillmore.
That was the president that chose
right.
All the stuff at Jewel?
You remember a news guy at GN named Tom Peterson? That used to be a stock answer for everything. Millard Fillmore.
No, I don't remember that. I the first time I started listening to WGN is when I started working here.
Oh, okay.
For the most part. No, I'll be caught in that lie. I listen to Eddie all the time.
Say, come on, Gary.
Yes, you listen to me, you jerk.
Yeah,
I remember
Peterson
you talking about it.
Made a in the morning with Uncle Bobby.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Anyway. All right, I did hear other shows. Eddie Schwartz, News in Sports.
No, the reason I called, Gary, is I can tell you specifically that the vegetables, the canned vegetables at Aldi, are Del Monte. They just have a different label on them because I used to work at the Del Monte plant in DeKalb, and we would put out the same vegetables, the same peas, the same, you know, carrots and everything in cans. And it just depended on what labels. They put Sweet Valley labels, which is the Aldi brand, on some of them, and Del Monte labels on the other. And the only difference is the price.
60 Minutes did a piece on this company that I think it's one company that makes all the sunglasses. And they just put the different brands on each one, but it's one company. And they pretend
right,
like
Ray
it's
Ban,
all the... Yeah. It could
Oakley,
be...
Yeah.
Prada, whatever...
Oliver Peoples.
Oliver Peoples.
Versace. Gucci.
Gucci. They all are the same company, really, or the same manufacturer, and then they just slap all these different brands on there. And I'll bet you the markup on those glasses is astronomical. Why would it cost $300?
1,000%, yeah.
Yeah, for a couple pieces of plastic.
Uh-huh, and you can get the same thing in the dollar store for, you know what, nothing.
I think I read where the biggest markup is on eyeglasses and underwear. Yeah.
Well, it's a good thing you go to your underwear store then, Gary.
No, I'm making out clean on that. I'm going to be a millionaire just from that.
Nothing better than
I go from Food for Less right down to Socks Outlet, and I just walk out with bags of stuff and more money in my pocket. To play the lottery.
Hey, a couple of things, Gary. First of all, can you tell me, well, what's the brand name on those FM transmitters that you were giving away yesterday.
I think they're just called an FM transmitter. I don't know if there's a brand name.
Well, there's got to be some kind of brand, isn't there? I was going to find the same one on Amazon for $8 or $10, whatever they are, and get one myself.
I'll look it up and broadcast whatever that is, but I think it's just called an FM transmitter.
Well, someone has to make
there's them. A lot to make those little FM transmitters.
I think Dan Fedora addressed that it's kind of nobody knows who makes them. They're out there, but not claimed by anybody. It's not like Del Monte or Gucci.
Well,
it's a Gucci FM transmitter.
Maybe it's kind of like the VCRs. There were like three companies that made all the VCRs, and as you said, none of them were made in this country. They were all made in Japan.
Right.
And there were like three companies that made them, Matsushita and a couple others, and they just slapped different names on all of them, you know, whether it was Magnavox or JCPenney or whatever the name was.
Yeah.
But, the other question I got for you, Gary, is did you say you've got a... like some sort of an inn with somebody at Zany's?
An inn?
Well, Rick Geezer, we were talking about.
I don't know what kind of inn that would be. He works here, and then he books acts at Zany's. Why? What do you need?
Well, there's a female comedian named Mary Ellen Hooper that I desperately like to get her to Zany's, either, you know, the St. Charles or the Rosemont location. It doesn't matter, but I'd like to get her booked in the Chicago area for some shows, but she's hilarious. I mean, the girl is really talented, but I actually had some emails with her, but she said Chicago's a tough nut to crack because we've got so much of our own comedic talent here that it's hard for somebody from outside to break in here.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I don't, because I've heard some comedians working the circuit here, and I'm thinking, how did you get on stage here? But,
yeah, really.
But that's my opinion, of course. I will just tell you to get a hold of Rick Geezer. He's go to zanies.com probably, and there's got to be a Rick Geezer space somewhere to click on.
Email address or something.
Yeah.
Click here if you want to send him a message or something. Right, okay. Rick Geezer then? Okay.
Rick Geezer.
Geezer, like old Geezer.
Yeah. All right, Matt.
All right, thanks, Gary.
Thank you.
Matt not providing trivia as much as he used to.
No, now he's breaking off the booking comedians.
Now he's become an agent.
Wes?
Hey, Gary, hey. Bibble.
Hey.
The trivia thing, he was talking about Shida Electronics is the one I think he meant to say, but they made Panasonic with their ship brand.
You are, I don't know if this is buffering, but something's happening where everything's not audible. Can you call back?
Not audible at all?
Right, start now.
Back.
All right, now start again.
Okay. The trivia guy was talking about Masashita Electronics and how they made different radios and such.
Mm-hmm.
And he's exactly right. Their flagship brand was Panasonic, but they also made, Sanyo and all these other brands, and they were all different branded, so you could pick your stereo, but it was all the same place they were making them at.
Yeah.
But that was my call. I just heard him say that, and I was like, yep, he's right. So I took electronics classes, and he's exactly right. I mean, that's what they did.
My first stereo setup was a Panasonic. When I worked at the drugstore, and when I say the drugstore, everybody knows, the drugstore.
The pharmacy.
Right. When you,
I worked at a drugstore, and a guy came in, and he had been a regular customer. He said, hey, I've got a Panasonic stereo system for $40 if you'd like it. It's brand new. And I never thought about things being hot or whatever. I was just he must be a Panasonic representative.
What a nice man.
What a nice man. And I bought it, and it was brand new and beautiful, and it was on my bedroom shelving for years.
Who knows what truck it fell off?
I'm just going to say it fell off a truck over by there.
Yeah.
You know?
Well.
Was it all wrapped and everything and taped?
As far as I remember, yeah. It was brand new.
It had the styrofoam.
It had that smoked plexiglass cover for the turntable.
Yes.
Ooh,
yeah.
That's cool. You had the cassette and the 8-track tape player?
This was before cassette.
Oh, so you
There was no
8-track.
No 8-track.
Not even 8-track.
No.
Wow.
It was just AM and FM, a couple speakers and a turntable.
Nice.
That's all you needed.
Nope. Did it have the... No stream?
Yeah.
No stream?
Stream.
Did it have the arm where you could stack the four little 45s and each one would fall?
I remember being in my bedroom playing Led Zeppelin 2 and looking at my bedroom window going, it couldn't get any better than that.
That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Was that the one with Misty Mountain Hop, I think? Was that Led Zeppelin 2 or
was that Led Zeppelin 2?
I'm not sure.
I might have been playing Led Zeppelin 1 because I remember Good Times, Bad Times rocking.
Okay.
Yeah. Bomb, bomb. Bomb, bomb. Bomb, bomb. Turn it down. Yeah, okay.
What?
Beating on the ceiling. Turn it down.
Yeah.
But, hey, there's a chemical manufacturing facility south of LaPorte, Indiana. And I won't mention where it's at. Probably everybody in Indiana knows where it's at. But I used to call on this particular company. They had a pressure washer and an oil water separator, all these equipment I used to sell. And I served their account so much I made chummy with their maintenance guys and all this. And they say, hey, man, you know, all the time I'd go there. Hey, we got bottles of this that got screwed up off the line and, you know, something fell off or the labels went on wrong. You want some fuel injector cleaner? And, well, sure. I mean, it was all stuff they were going to throw out or get rid of somehow. And now, what do we run today? You guys yelled the other day. What do we run today? Kmart. Oh, it's Kmart fuel injector cleaner? Well, yesterday it was Heat brand. Tomorrow it's going to be Target brand. And then the day after that it's going to be some other brand. It was all the same stuff.
All came out of the same hole.
Yeah, antifreeze. You know, hey, you want some, they'd reclaim antifreeze, and they'd make sure the glycol count was right. And today it might be Peak. Tomorrow it might be Prestone. The next day it was private branded. They did everything the same, though.
Came out of the same spigot.
The same. Well, that's we had a brewery here in South Bend called Drury's, and they made 47 different kinds of beer. And you know whatever? It was one kind of beer. It was 47 different brands. Because they'd private brand for anybody that wanted it, but it was the same stuff. You know, it never changed.
That's how the magic trick is done.
Yeah, and I don't think anything's changed in it. It's advertising is what kills, you know, Del Monte's on TV or whatever, name your big brand. But when you go to the Happy Harvest over at Aldi's, they don't advertise that. That's their house brand, but it's the same stuff, like the
right
colors.
And these companies pay for shelf space on where it appears on the shelf. A lot of money.
Oh, you bet. Oh, you bet.
To grab you as you're walking down that aisle.
Especially in beers. I collect beer memorabilia, and Budweiser is huge for buying shelf space and pushing out the little guy. It's huge. It's always been. Miller's second to them doing that, but they do it.
Yeah, that's how this all works. That's why we live in the United States.
Capitalism.
And even Miller contract brews, if you go to Benny's Beverage Depot and you can grab a case of hams, I mean, nobody really, not a lot of people buy hams, or even Old Style, Miller's brewing it.
Yeah.
So they're that little itty-bitty spot on the shelf where you see Old Style or hams, Miller's making that beer. And nobody knows that. They think Old Style's still got a plant in Chicago, which they never had, but there you go. You know, it was always made in Wisconsin and La Crosse.
Well, you're ruining all of my...
Oh, my myths.
My dreams and thoughts.
Well, and there was a Falstaff malting plant there on the Skyway. And everybody said, oh, they made so much beer there. They never made a drop of beer. There was a malting plant. The boats would come in, drop off the malt. They'd mill it and send it out to their breweries.
Next thing, no Santa Claus, Wes, the way you're heading. Wow.
There's no Easter Bunny either, brother.
So Tooth Fairy.
Cut it out, you guys.
All right, Wes, thank you.
All right, take care, Gary.
By the way, Good Times, Bad Times on Led Zeppelin.
On the first one.
Yeah, and then Misty Mountain Hop, as he would say, is on four.
Led Zeppelin 4.
Yeah.
Which one was Houses of the Holy?
Was that
technically like 3?
What about Livin' Lovin' Maid?
Joe? Yeah, Gare.
Joe.
Good day to you.
Good day to you.
I was just going to, first off, I want to tell our Elton Jim, how he's so right. I sound so terrible on the phone, I wasn't even going to call anymore.
Really? Did you
I listen to the rerun on 7 o'clock on Friday, and I do. I sound horrible.
Joe, don't listen to him.
What did I say?
You said she sounded drunk.
I don't like me on the radio.
No, Joe. This is a guy who thought that the trap door to bank should be a whole long trap door so the regular customers drop in with the bank robber.
I didn't say she
sounded
bad.
Well, yeah, I know, but he was right. I hate
Joe.
Oh, God.
Joe. Joe.
I did not like my voice on the radio.
Come on. I don't like my voice on the radio, but I'm here.
Come on, Joe.
Oh, no. My voice is so low. I've been like that since.
Joe. You're reading too much into this. It's Elton, or as you, I think you said it, I like this, Elephant Jim. Elephant Jim doesn't know. He's goofed up.
Yeah, well.
And Scott Stantis took care of him about a month or two ago and put him in his place.
But when did I say she didn't sound good?
You said she sounded drunk.
Well, just that one day she was
I do
a little
sound
loopy.
Really, Not good.
No, no. Joe, what? No, you're not auditioning for a show here, although there might be some openings. But the fact is, right, you're Joe. What? That's why people like you.
Yeah, because well, I'm glad I didn't get into radio.
Now,
oh, no, stop.
Joe.
Come on now.
Don't worry about it. You're taking it way too seriously. Let it go. It's Bibble. We all know where his anger comes from. It's deep down.
I can tell you that most of the girls I went to college with who wanted to go into radio smoked cigarettes just so they could get a husky voice.
There are people on the air that sound...
I was smoking, though. I had this voice.
Joe, people on the air in this city and other cities with a voice worse than yours are broadcasting every day. Believe me, I'm not trying to butter you up here, but don't worry about that. Elephant Jim doesn't know.
Well, you know, hey, you know what I was going to say, too? My husband years ago used to work for National off and on, because he was in service. Every time he got to leave, he went back to National. Then he had to go back to service. But when he did my shopping, he always got the off brands if they were made by the big company. He was reading the labels and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So he was always buying a cheaper brand because they were made by the other brand.
Yeah, we are conditioned to buy brands, and
that's right.
Some people aren't affected by that, like your husband. But when you look at the brand that's not familiar, I don't know if I want to wander into that territory.
Exactly. And when he did the shop, because he'd do the shopping, right? You know, at that time.
National food stores. Yeah, I remember those.
Yeah, well, his family were all National people, one way or the other, drivers, or they were checkers, or managers, or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and he was fired every time he went back to service, because they would fire him, so he'd go back to the Army.
Yeah.
Or the Air Force he was in.
Yeah.
And, but you know what? I'm with brands, too, though. I like, and I'll tell you, to talk about minimum wage, I'm on Social Security. I average out about $8 an hour.
All right.
So when you think of it, they're getting more than I am.
Yeah, how much do you get in Social Security every month?
$1,600.
You have to pay rent and everything out of that?
Oh, yeah, my electric, my bills.
My point being, that doesn't go very far when you start throwing all that
on
there.
And my food bill doubled in 2 years. I used to pay $50 a month. I'm not buying anything really different.
Yeah.
I'm paying $100 and some now for groceries a month.
Food is no longer being factored into the... matrix that they use for figuring inflation.
Oh, that's nice, because we don't need food.
They're leaving out food and gasoline, which are the things that are costing people the most these days.
Nice.
That's wrong, though. People do have to. I can see why some older people are eating dog food.
Yeah. Yeah, it's got to be tough.
And I'll still use special brands like Charmin's, Bounty towel or paper towels. I don't go with the off brands.
No, I noticed with that.
I'm not giving up all some of the good things I do have, and I don't care if they cost me. So
that's right, because some of that generic paper towel, you'll be wiping something up, and it's disintegrating as you're wiping it.
Yes. You know,
it's like bookie paper.
rice paper.
It's not any good.
And what kind of wine? Is it generic or a brand?
Right, Carlo Rossi I drink.
Yeah.
Rossi Brothers.
Yeah, have you tried the box wines?
You know?
Box wines.
There's some really good ones.
White one, yeah, Chablis.
All right.
So that's, yeah.
All right, are we settled?
So I keep my own stuff, but like I said, and most of those people, they must get at least $9 to $10 an hour and they're part-timers at McDonald's and stuff.
Is that what they're making?
And plus, I got news for you. Most of those people are also on food stamps. They go to the pantry. Uh-huh.
Yeah, well, again, it depends on your situation. As a lot of people have discussed, thought those were entry-level jobs. You did them after high school or after school.
That's what they were meant to be.
Right, just to kind of get some spending money. It wasn't to live on, and it's kind of elevated itself for some reason. I don't know. Joe, I got to get to Leslie, but don't stop calling because of Elephant Jim.
I didn't say anything.
No, it wasn't him. It was me. I didn't like me.
Oh. All right, but you said he kind of pointed it out. And come on.
No, I also didn't like me. So
all right, well, all right, Joe, let's work through this now. All right, I got to run. Thank you.
Okay.
All right, thanks, Joe. Gary Meyer on the G. Some texts have come in at 312-521-8600. How does Baba Shivel deal with the loss of privacy? That and the exhaustion he experiences from 4 hours in a studio. You mentioned yesterday that you are spent at the end of the 4 hours here.
I'm a little drained.
Yeah.
It's not easy talking for 3 hours and 25 minutes.
That's it. Keep it up. Today, Sun Times, Hobby Lobby ad, selling Christmas trees, lights, and ornaments 40% off.
Already. 40% off.
I know some people get into Christmas early and often, but I can't. And it's just depressing how early it has started over the years. And it just makes you, by Christmas, hate it. By December 23rd, you just want to put everything away.
Oh, I could not wait to take our stuff.
I know, because it's been,
not wait.
If not your place, been up somewhere for 3-4 months at that point.
And we usually put ours up Thanksgiving weekend. You know,
that's traditional.
Yeah, so it's up for a good three, and if we keep it up usually till the day or so after New Year's, that's a good month.
That's enough.
Yeah.
I got a text that said, hey, are you going to talk about Bernie Madoff's other son dying? And I had not heard the story, so I looked it up. Andrew Madoff, the last surviving offspring of Bernie, died yesterday after a long struggle with cancer, 48 years old.
Jeez.
Was it all worth it for the old man? And not that you can prevent cancer, but I think mind and body grind you up.
Didn't
if you're of this mindset.
And the other son killed himself.
Yeah, hung himself.
Yeah.
So. On the anniversary of when Bernie got arrested.
Even though they claim that they got off, right?
Yeah, they said they didn't know anything about what was going on.
And there were some rumors, I think, that they may have been the whistleblowers. But who knows? But wow. So think about in the last, 7 years, how that family has been completely decimated from living high on the hog.
Yeah, to he's in prison forever. And
two kids dead.
The wife, she's secured herself away somewhere. She got a few million, which doesn't seem right. But Bernie's younger brother, Peter, who ran the market-making division of the family business, pleaded guilty to doctoring records 2 years ago and was sentenced to a 10-year prison term. Jeez. Yeah, so the ripple effect of this keeps going.
I mean, you often wonder, do they look back and say, you know what? But for 20 years, I lived like nobody else did. So you know what? I wonder if people like that think it was worth it.
So those 20 years are worth the carnage after.
Well, I don't know. I'm just saying, I wonder, this is a very unique situation in terms of so many people dying like this. But sometimes you get these people that went out and did, and they live these illegal lifestyles with boats and everything, and then they get thrown in jail for 15 years, and you wonder, do they in their back of their mind regret it? Like, hey, you know what? I'd rather have lived the crazy, wild life that I did and got to live.
I can't imagine.
I can't imagine it either, but you never know what their mindsets are.
This text to soothe the nerves of Joe.
Ugh.
Hey, Joe, nobody likes the way they sound on recordings. We are all surprised what we sound like when recorded. I was interviewed on Fox News and was mortified at what I sound like to other people. I thought, am I that nasal? I can't listen to myself.
No.
I don't know how you hear my voice. I really don't.
You don't know how, what?
I don't know how you hear my voice.
How I can't take it, or why?
No, what are you, is that the leap you go to? I can't take you.
I don't understand.
What kind of person would want to listen to you?
I don't understand what you mean.
You don't understand what I just said.
No, I don't know how you hear me.
Yes.
What?
I don't
like, you
know
mean
how
the way the ear works.
I don't know how my voice sounds to people going through this microphone. I don't know how my voice sounds to people just when I'm talking
right.
to them.
Right. Well, okay. I don't know if that's
but
a phrase.
Because when I hear my voice on a recording, I think, is that how I sound?
So you think you
obviously
sound
different? It is.
Even after
in my
the
head,
last...
I have a certain tonal resonance going, but I don't know what that sounds like to other people.
Even after 35 years of basically hearing your voice back at you pretty yeah. much every day.
I don't know what, but to you or to anybody that listens to it, I don't yeah. know what that sounds like.
No, I think
I
everybody...
hear it in my head, but that's in my head different.
Yeah. No, we like your voice.
Oh, thank you. You don't know why you.
I didn't understand.
Why you don't like
yourself.
Well,
you yourself. Said, I don't know how you hear me.
Like, yeah. I don't know how you hear my
it
voice.
It sounded to me like, I don't know how you can listen to me.
No.
That's what it sounded like, the way you said it.
Isn't that interesting that that was your first reaction? That's telling.
But I've been listening to you for 35 years, so that's not even. Yeah. That's for you to think that that's a negative is outrageous.
I do. And I've said this many times, I do have certain voices that I am attracted to. And the ones that I remember and will always remember, Sunday, Pat Summerall, John Madden, had to have that on in the background, even if it wasn't a Bears game.
Pat Summerall.
I liked the way those two voices interacted. I liked the tonality. It just worked for me.
Yeah, it seemed to blend right in with the action.
Yeah.
You know, Howard Cosell's voice always was grating. It never fit in. Although, what's his name? Kathy Lee's husband.
Gifford.
His voice did sound good in a football game,
yeah,
I thought.
That worked.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to think of, well, the current duo. You've got Al Michaels.
Al Michaels has a pretty good.
And who's his
is
guy?
Is he with Boomer?
No. It's former football player Chris.
Oh, Chris Collinsworth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess they're okay, but, boy, the guys that are calling the Bears preseason games,
oof.
Who is that one guy?
Yeah, I don't even know. They got.
He's got a nice arm on him.
Yeah,
I'll tell you what, that's a soft box. They got to get rid of that soft box. He's got the measurables. That's what he's got.
Preseason is
he
wrong.
Sounds like he should have a wet cigar. And he's got a greasy head. That's all I can picture when I hear this guy. Why those two are doing Bears games, I don't know.
Well, the
like,
Bears,
they don't care because it's preseason.
Yeah, there's always, because don't forget, too, it's off. It's not really, a lot of times, it's not, these preseason games are not even on the networks that will broadcast the games.
Eventually,
nationally. A lot of times, local stations.
Right.
Are getting
but
them.
Who is that guy? You know the guy I'm talking about.
Yeah, I haven't even really watched too many Bears preseason games this year. Because obviously the Bears don't care because Lance Briggs missed practice yesterday because he wanted to go open up his restaurant in California.
Yeah, his barbecue place.
Leading up to, this is game week.
Okay.
This is not just
that,
some BS week. This
that
is
was
game week.
A red flag.
Yeah. So I don't even know if Mark we trust anymore. I'm getting to.
Yeah, they're not exactly in preseason. I know people go, well, it's preseason. No, there are indications in preseason of what the season's going to be.
I was,
and there's no indication that anybody could take off for a restaurant opening 4 or 5 days before the first game.
And I love the way some of the players are going, well, I didn't even know why he wasn't here. Or, well, he's a pro bowler, so he knows how to prepare.
Okay.
So it's like, no.
Why couldn't
nobody's
he have
better than anyone
planned
else.
This so the opening was in June or July, well, before they start camp, which is whatever.
Right,
how about June you have your restaurant opening?
Well, he doesn't know when the season starts. The schedules only come out a year in advance.
Crazy stuff.
Yeah, and Trestman's actually getting a lot of heat from
he
people
should,
saying, what
that,
kind of coach
just,
lets this happen?
Yeah, it just sounds too loosey-goosey for the week before the opening game.
You know, I just want to say, I didn't say that Joe's voice didn't sound good.
You just said she sounded drunk.
Well, but that had nothing to do with the tone of her voice.
And he redeems himself.
She just sounded a little, free and easy.
You got to be careful. She's a bit fragile.
No, I love Joe. Hey, I
want to hurt her.
I picked her up. I drove her to and fro.
Easy. That's not our business, what you're doing off hours.
Well, I saw those Kate Upton pictures, and they got a little frisky.
Yeah. Hey, Joe, I'm just down the block if you need some company.
I know where you live now.
Yeah, pour me some white. I'm on my way.
A little Rossi. A little Chablis.
I mentioned earlier I was watching the Houdini series. It's two parts on the History Channel.
They'll probably rerun it again, too.
They reran it right after they ran it last night.
Yeah.
And it got me to thinking, he was 52 when he died. He was basically in the era of the late 1800s and into the 19...
Well, he was born in the 18...
Right, but he was trafficking in the 1920s. How 20s, far did he 30s. Go into the 20th century?
Oh, I think he went into the, at least into the, I would say,
yeah, can you look that
30s
up?
Or 40s.
I don't know if it was that much, because he was already percolating in 1896.
He was maybe born in 18.
No. Look it up.
Really?
You're going to be surprised, I think.
He was getting out of handcuffs in the 1800s?
Yeah.
No.
Oh, come
have,
on.
They didn't even have handcuffs.
Oh, please.
No, they didn't. I don't think.
Look it up.
I'm looking. I'm trying.
I think it was probably 1875.
Are you? No. Wait. Come on.
Okay. What the hell? Am I pulling stuff out of my keister here?
Oh, you know what?
Yeah. Apologize.
No, wait. He was born in 1874.
Thank you.
So,
that's what I'm saying.
So the okay, he died in 26.
Yes. Yes. Everything I said, into the 20s.
Wow.
He was 52 years old.
I thought he was into the 30s.
When I was watching this, I was thinking, okay, he did these stunts where he would get out of straitjackets and all these chains and things.
Over rivers and things.
Yeah. They didn't have much for entertainment. It was pretty much all theater. No television, no radio, no,
right.
No movies, nothing until
not in
later in his life.
Right, not in the mainstream.
Right, the movies come in. But I was wondering if a guy like that today, if he was hanging from a crane trying to get out of a straitjacket, I'm sure some people would glance, but people came out in droves because anything he did was a big spectacle.
Well,
now
David,
we have David Blaine
David
and those
Blaine,
people, but they don't even seem to last that long anymore.
And don't forget, he did about three or four of those in New York, and even those got blasé.
Right, and people kind of mocked him, too, as he was doing them.
Yeah, well, I think you're right about the...
He came along at a time that was perfect for him.
The entertainment factor was definitely... You had vaudeville, which was...
Yeah, it was all stage. It was all live
stuff, yeah.
Theater. That was their only entertainment.
And, you know, there were other magicians, I think, where he set himself apart was just this whole kind of death-defying kind of thing. And he was...
An escape artist was his stock and trade. And then, if the movie is accurate, he was on this campaign to debunk these spiritualists and these soothsayers
That's true.
And in the movie, Arthur Conan Doyle, the author of Sherlock Holmes, apparently his wife was very into this because after Houdini's mother died, he wanted to contact her, so he would go and sit at all these seances, and then at the end he'd go, this is completely nonsense.
And he always
offered money to have anybody prove him wrong.
Yeah, and then he apparently gave his wife a word that, you know...
Okay, a safe word.
I'm sure he did. That if she tried to contact him then, they would know each other.
Yeah.
And of course,
none of these people did.
And they would do these seances. And they still, even a couple of years ago, they tried to do it again. This is
nothing.
The great thing. And it's always, because I believe he died on Halloween, which was...
I think he did,
yeah. Which is kind of eerie.
And he died because he would allow people to punch him in the stomach because he had developed these real strong stomach muscles. And then in the movie, they had some college kids who wanted to sketch him.
Yeah.
Come backstage and they're sketching him, and another guy comes in and said, oh, hey, how you doing? I understand that you say that Arthur Conan Doyle's wife is a charlatan, a fake, and I find that offensive.
And
he punched about three times in the stomach.
And he wasn't ready for it.
Wasn't ready for it, but then he went out to perform a dunk tank thing, if you will, where he was lowered into a tank of water, and he's going to get out of all these chains, but he collapsed on stage, and then that was the end of it.
Well, now, have you ever seen the original Houdini movie with Tony Curtis?
No.
Okay, that's a classic. That's with him and Janet Leigh, and that's why what's so funny is this, for years, you know, they made it, it's really a cheesy movie, but you got to see it. If you ever see Houdini with Tony Curtis on, they play it on TMZ, you'll have to watch it, because it's so corny. And Tony Curtis is so just Tony Curtis. He's never Harry Houdini when you're watching this. But at the very end, you know, they make it look like he died in the water torture thing.
Really?
They don't even they make a reference that he got hit and that,
but
you know,
that he drowned in the water tank?
But they make it look like, no, because what happened is they put him, they show him in this water tank, and he can't get out. And so then his assistant comes and
breaks
like,
the
takes
glass.
An axe and breaks the thing, and he's laying on the stage, and Janet Leigh comes over, and he's like, don't worry, honey, I'll be okay. And that's how it ends. So you think that he died because
okay, well, that's cheesy.
So for years, nobody even knew about this appendix thing. And getting punched. And then in the last 20 or 30 years, people are like, you know, Houdini got punched in the stomach. That,
right,
you know,
and it ruptured his appendix.
Because it doesn't seem
infected,
as exciting that he got punched in the stomach and died. You know, it sounds more exciting if you say he was in this trap and he, you know, he died. But
and then 7 years ago, Tony Curtis is at the radio station
we're working at
WCKG, and he's in a wheelchair.
Oh.
And you think of him as all of these leading man characters.
Hello, darling.
And it was just
that was so
weird
sad
to see.
He was wearing his beret because remember he's bald?
Yeah.
Because he always had a toupee. And he had that big, giant gray one for a while. And I think at the end he's just like, okay, I'm taking off.
So did he have a toupee from the get-go?
Oh, pretty much. I think, yeah. I think he did because you've never seen. Well, there was a point there in the. I remember seeing some movies in the late 60s, early 70s, like when he did The Boston Strangler, if you ever saw that movie,
mm-hmm.
where his hair looked like it was starting to thin, and so he did like I did. He never went bald. He went in front of it. He went for the system, and you never knew it. Although his were like these pompous.
Now, I'm pretty sure that the guy who's in Girl Gone, Ben Affleck.
Ben Affleck totally has one.
That's a hairpiece, right?
Definitely.
Yeah. All right, I'm just saying.
In fact, there's an Entertainment Weekly. I should have brought it in.
Do out other people with systems?
No, but because he's with the system, they give him a list of other people that have systems.
Yeah, we get the
and the special handshake.
And the handshake?
Yeah.
Oh,
well, it's not
cool.
A handshake. Like, you ever saw The Sting when they would touch each other's noses?
Just rub
to let them
nose.
Know that, and that's what we do.
They
we
didn't touch
other.
Each
other's. Your own nose.
Your own nose.
Yeah.
You just sort of look at each other, and you give a little touch of the nose, and that's how you know that you're in the club. But there was a picture from this.
You would tip your hat, but you don't have to wear one anymore.
Girl Gone? Is it Gone Girl or Girl Gone?
Gone Girl.
Gone Girl. So there's a picture of him.
She's
gone.
No.
It's Girl Gone.
I've got the book.
Right?
Hang on. I'm looking at
it. And were you very unhappy with the ending?
It was not what I expected.
Yeah, but not in a good way.
I was okay.
Because I guess the ending
is Gone Girl.
Gone Girl.
Well, the thing is that they're saying that they're wondering if the director, David Fincher, has changed the ending. This movie is under wraps.
Why would you do that? It was a successful book.
Well, they've got the screen. They've got the writer, Gillian Flynn. She's writing the screenplay, so I guess it's.
She's in with it.
Yeah, she's in. But there's a photo of him with. It was a staged photo, you could see, with the star of the movie, the woman. And, you know, it's not obvious, but if you know what to look for.
Sure, and he knows.
And that's what we're even talking about.
They had Baba Shivel come in and study the Zapruder film, because he knows things.
Down and to the left.
Yeah.
Down
he
and to
the left.
He sees
things that other people don't.
And, well, you talked about Al Pacino and The Godfather. Unless you really look.
I did not know
right.
That was a piece.
But if you look, and you'll see. There's just a little bump where the hair is resting as opposed to being combed back.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just this little line. He had some really good ones in that movie. I mean, they must have paid good money. But it's true. I mean, in later years, he was in like Glengarry Glen Ross, and he had this giant pompadour. You're like, okay, the guy's 70. He's got more hair than he did when he was 30. So then
now
you realize.
My next study is... Welcome back, Cotter. I want to know Travolta if that whole thing is
a
headpiece.
That's a good point.
And I think it is because now that you watch it, that thing does not move.
It looks
anywhere.
Like Ken doll hair.
Yeah.
Like it might have been flocked on at that point.
You know what? That's a really good point. Because how do you go? You never go from.
That's a lot of hair to nothing.
Yeah, in one day. It just doesn't come out in clumps. So that's a good point.
Yeah,
he's got alopecia. Yeah. And then I hope you're happy with it.
I think that's the announcer for the Bears games, the preseason
Mr.
games.
Alopecia
that
you.
I don't like.
Yeah.
Well, and unfortunately, too, the Bears, you know, on most given Sundays, you know, they're not the lead game. So we often do get kind of second or third string announcers because they're not like the network game where you'd have a Joe Buck and whoever. So
but
a lot
the
of
Bears,
times,
even their right, their regular season games seem to get.
That's what I mean. We get
the third tier of announcers.
We don't really get.
I even like
really
when
good.
Johnny Morris would do it.
He was very good.
Of course, he played. And,
yeah, no, Johnny was great. Yeah, that
but
was.
We don't seem to get that. I don't know why. We got to fight for our right
to party.
Party.
Do you think kids would come out today to watch a DJ blow up disco records? No, no, not unless we were inside the box. And had to get out before the fuse got to the boom, boom, dynamite.
That's a good point.